Welcome to our midweek show, The Fantasy Lens, where we take a deep dive into everything and anything fantasy hockey specific. With these young guys off to a flying start this year, I thought it was a good time to dive into the top under 23 active NHL skaters and give you my top 10 defensemen and my top 20 forwards, and have Vince and Nick, who joined me as usual, debate and make fun of my choices. So, guys, anything you want to add before we dive right into it?
Yeah, subscribe, download, comment, good or bad.
Hit the thumbs up on YouTube.
At Partial Break Pod on Instagram, X, and TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good lately, actually, guys. A lot of engagement, a lot of arguments, a lot of people don't like us.
Guys, please keep sending those hate messages to Junior specifically. We are loving them. They're great content for us. And we have a good laugh.
All right, let's start with defensemen, guys. At number one, so let me rephrase. This is under 23, so 23 years of age or younger, actively playing a full-time role in the NHL. Very important. So at number one, I'm going to split it by tiers. My first tier, I got Jake Sanderson, Lane Hudson, and Matthew Schaefer. How do you guys feel about that? Do you guys want me to list them all and then have a discussion?
No. Tier by tier, or else it's going to get very confusing.
Okay.
Like, I look at Schaefer, and I'm very surprised you have him this high this early. What a star he's been so far this year. I'd like to see it continue as well. But having him next to Lane Hudson and Jake Sanderson is high praise for a very young kid just wetting his beak in the NHL.
Sorry.
So like, it's because it's so rare an 18-year-old comes into the league and is this effective and this productive. It's something that we haven't seen often, if not at all. I wasn't this high on him before the season started, but now he's won me over in a quarter of the season. He's been that impactful.
If you look at the stats so far, Lane Hudson, they've all played between 27 and 29 games. Schaefer played the most in 29. Hudson played the less in 27. Hudson, 4 goals, which is expected because, unfortunately, with the shot he has, he's not expected to be up there in goals. Sanderson, 6 goals, but Matthew Schaefer has 8 goals. Assists, Hudson 17, Sanderson 17, Schaefer 12. Points, 21, 23, 20. So as of right now, these three guys should be in the same tier. Schaefer is just... he's got number one power play. He's running with what he has. This draft was supposed to be a draft where, you know, no one came out flying. You know, it was supposed to be a weak draft, but this kid is just proving the draft wrong. So, it's something to see. And listen, remember, beginning of the season, we were saying Calder Trophy is Demidov's to lose. Well, I think the Calder Trophy race got a lot tighter.
Well, guys, don't forget, Dob Pools doesn't even have a picture for this kid yet. That's how young he is. 2 years old and, 2 months. It's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the next tier where we have, after what Vince said last week, I had no choice to put him in the second tier. Luke Hughes, Ziv Buyim, Artyom Levshunov, and I'm going to add Jackson Lacombe in this tier. So we have Luke Hughes, Ziv Buyim, Levshunov, Lacombe in tier 2. How are we feeling about these?
Well, I'll start off if that's okay. Luke Hughes, I think, and Ziv Buyim are two of the guys that could easily join tier 1.
Oh, wow.
In the near future. Maybe in a few years from now. What's blocking Luke Hughes is just having less competition, I'll say, and a little bit more bit more games played under his belt. Ziv Buyum these guys, though, have the potential to become big point producers in the NHL, and maybe more so than a Lacombe and more so than a Levchenov. It's my opinion, but I see those two possibly joining the tier above.
I'm gonna have to disagree. I think Buyum has the potential to go up in the tier above, just because it seems like he took over for Brock Faber and it's his first year there. So I believe he's going to be the number one power play guy in Minnesota from starting now, and already rookie season having 13 points, 29 games, 10 power play points. I mean, it's impressive for a rookie to have. Luke Hughes, I don't know. I think he's a talented player, but I mean, he still has Dougie Hamilton there. The trade rumors with Quinn Hughes, it's fantasy-wise, Luke Hughes worries me a bit. I feel he needs that power play to get points. And if he's not on that power play, I don't think he'll get as many points as the other guy. Jackson Lacombe right now has beaten out any young player that's on the Anaheim Ducks on that defense, whether it's Zellweger, Michukov, or whichever. And, I mean, he started off slow, but all of a sudden he's on a heater, so he's a well-rounded defenseman, but I still don't think he would be able to crack the top tier over there.
Well, the one thing you said about Jackson Lacombe, he's well-rounded. Yeah, he's 25 years old, or almost 25 years old.
Yeah.
The other guy talking about 21-year-old.
Jackson Lacombe wouldn't fit. That's why I didn't see him.
Oh, exactly. Because this should be an under 23.
Yeah, under 23, which is why he didn't pop up in my research. I had no idea he was that old.
Failed, Junior.
It doesn't matter. But
guys, hate mail to Junior directly, please. Don't say that's the whole podcast the problem.
Luke Hughes, can he hit 60 points? He's never done it. He's not pacing for it. You want to blame Hamilton? You want to blame deployment? I don't know. But to me, I don't think he's a 60-point guy. I think he could probably hit 50 consistently. I don't think he's going to be a 60-point defenseman.
Listen, if he gets... Oh, the first listen of the podcast. That's cool. If he gets deployment on the power play, like I said, I think he's a power play guy. Like, I don't see him being a top 1-2 defenseman, especially with his defensive liabilities right now. So he's a 3-4, which is, listen, I'm not shitting on Luke Hughes, because I also think Lane Hudson is a better right now in Montreal is a better off 3-4 defenseman. And have Mattson and Dobson go up against the other team's best lines, and have Hudson not go up against the other team's best lines.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is fantasy-wise, right? So whether they're first pairing, second pairing, it doesn't really matter, as long as they get the minutes and they can produce.
But that's why I did what we're comparing now is Sanderson's on the first power play, Hudson's on the first power play, Schaefer's on the first power play. Luke Hughes, 1 week is on the first power play, the other week is on power play too.
But that's what I was trying to explain, is that there's other players taking his ice time,
yes,
especially exactly. On the power play.
Yeah.
He's 42% last year on the power play. That's less than half the time that the power play is out there that he's out there. And this year he's pacing at 43% of the power play. Mm-hmm. Once again, below 70% pace of the power play, for example.
Yeah.
There... And if Quinn doesn't get traded there, you know, more of that power play opportunity. And that he had 70% power play guys one time, in Dougie Hamilton was injured, I believe, 2023, 2024, he had 25 points just on the power play.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I feel like he might be able to hit that 60. He's still 2 years or 3 years away from his prime.
Yeah.
And he's playing 23 minutes of ice time this year, which is an improvement over the last couple of years. So it's trending upwards, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to our final. Anything on Levshunov? Maybe he wouldn't have been ranked in this tier last year, but with his emergence this year so far.
Levshunov is just, it's the team that's up in the air. I don't think on that team there's anybody who's getting number one power play besides him in the future, like Koshinski maybe. Right now he's scheduled at 55.9% on the power play, which isn't very high. Only 16 minutes of ice time. So, I mean, he could develop into a great player, but I think he'll be more known for his two-way game than his point-getting ability.
Yeah, well, he's on a 39-point pace this year at the age of 20. Mm-hmm. So that's quite impressive for a defenseman 20 years old. I mean, let's not compare everybody to Lane Hudson. And he was a second overall pick in 2024. So that he will develop into a number one defenseman. And I think that, you know, a la Hedman style, they're hoping that he becomes.
I think he's got all the tools. It's just now it's a wait and see and how he develops into it. And they've always said defensemen always take longer to develop than any forward.
Except Lane Hudson.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless he's got another level to him that we don't know about. Okay, so our third and final tier is Ziv Buoyim's partner, Brock Faber, Denton Matichuk, who I want to speak about in a minute, Brant Clark, and Simon Nemec. So the reason I put Matichuk here, and a lot of people are like, why Matichuk? I'll tell you why I put Matichuk, because his first year in 45 games, he had 13 points with no power play, okay? Zero power play points. This year, he's off in 27 games, he's off to a 12, he has 12 points. He's on pace for 36, one power play point. Despite having a Werenski that logs minutes and minutes and minutes and that logs all offensive opportunity, this guy is still able to produce. And when Werenski was out, he was always able to come in and produce as well. So I think once he's given more opportunity, I think he's going to be really, really effective, especially in fantasy, because he plays kind of like a two-way game. So what do you guys think about this final tier between Brant Clark, Matichuk, Faber, and Nemec?
Listen, Faber has Buoyim in front of him. Matichuk has Werenski in front of him. Nemec has Hamilton and Hughes in front of him. Brant Clark has no one in front of him. But yet he we spoke about it last episode. He still can't take the bull by the horns and go with it. And it's to me, he's one that worries me. It's starting to worry me a little, because to have all the opportunity that he's getting and not capitalizing on it, and he's 22 almost, he's going to be 23 soon. So, I mean, 14 points in 28 games, pace on 441 in his second full season. He's worrisome to me.
I love Matichuk. Denton Matichuk was one of my favorite draft picks in the Lama League. He actually had gone 12th in the real NHL in 2022. And in the WHL in 2023, he had 75 points in 52 games for a defenseman. That's quite impressive. He has defensive capabilities for sure. The only thing is, with only 3.6% power play time this year, he still has 12 points and on a 36-point pace for the season. So once those opportunities start going up, you're only going to see more and more coming from Chuck, I believe, and 12.6 of them goals already. this year. So we're kind of seeing him take another step. He's on a hot streak right now, 3 points in the last three games. I think Matichuk has a bright future in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Look, I just want to touch on Brant Clark because we kind of forget he came into the league so young and he had so much hype, and you tend to forget, you know, he's not even 23, like Vince said, and every year he's gradually gotten better and better and better, despite not crazy deployment. He's given opportunities, but never stable. So, like, he already has 5 goals this year, which is matches a career high, and it's only 28 games in. He's only had 36% of the power play, even with Drew Doughty out. So a lot of that has to do with deployment. Maybe a lot of that is system. Look, LA is a mess right now. I wonder if they change coach, if it helps them at all.
They're lowest scoring team, so that doesn't help either.
Yeah.
They're not scoring. So, I mean, if your team's not scoring, it's very hard to get points.
I heard a possible Peter DeBoer.
DeBoer, yeah, I've heard DeBoer's name.
Oh, my gosh. He's pacing 41. Faber's pacing 42. Nemich is pacing 42. And Matichuk, 36.
Okay, but so, which one is the most impressive? Okay, so in all those four names you did, which one to you is the most impressive? I'll tell you who I think.
Like, impressive this year?
Yeah, like right now. Just the stats you just said, that they're...
I think because of the competition he has, and he made the most of his opportunity when those guys were out, it's probably Simon Nemec.
Hey, but that's exactly who I was thinking about. Because remember, Simon Nemec got two guys in front of him. He's got Dougie Hamilton in front of him, and he's got Luke Hughes in front of him.
You know, so there's going to be a regression coming. I mean, he has a 14% shooting percentage. That's pretty high for a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But, impressive. I think it's him, but I also think it's a great sell-high candidate. Because I think he's giving vibes that he could be top tier or second tier. Yeah. And I don't think he could actually become that. Anything else before we move on to the forwards?
DraftKings, Joe?
Oh, yes. Okay, so let's do the DraftKings. Let's do DraftKings promo. I was supposed to start with it. But before we go on to the forwards, a word from our sponsor. The jaw-dropping moments that make hockey, hockey. Experience them with all DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Missouri listeners, listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in the Show Me State. New customers, this one's for you. Bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $200 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Pass-through of per wager tax may apply in Illinois. 21 plus age and eligibility varies in jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gambling resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright NHL 2025. All rights reserved. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the forwards. In my top tier at number one is Connor Bedard. And number two is Macklin Celebrini. You know, last episode I went on record saying that I thought Bedard could be a superstar and that Celebrini could be a really good player or elite player. I think Macklin Celebrini could hit 100 points. And to me, 100 points is a superstar. That's it? No, nobody wants to talk?
I'm waiting for you to tell us who goes first.
I didn't know what you were saying after.
I was just saying, so Bedard and Celebrini are 1 and 2 under 23 active skaters. Can you really differentiate one and two here, or is it like 1A, 1B?
No, I think it's 1A, 1A. I don't think you can. No, but I don't think you can. I think they're 1 point. Sabrina has 40 points. Bedard has 39. They're third and fourth in scoring in the NHL. I mean, these guys are elite, elite, elite players. Listen, people might say Celebrini is just a bit more impressive because he didn't come into the NHL with the hype that Bedard came into the NHL with. So for him to do this in his second year is unbelievable. So, but I mean, both these guys are, to me, they're 1A and 1A. There's no B, there's no C, they're 1A and 1A.
Yeah, so you want to hear a crazy stat? Connor Bedard is on a hot streak.
You don't say.
32 points in his last 20 games.
Jesus.
That's not a small hot streak. That's 20 games of a hot streak. The guy is absolutely insane. It's only his third season, and he's pacing for 118 points. And Macklin Celebrini is not on a hot streak, but he's also pacing for 113 points. Like, guys, I don't know. They're both absolutely insane players. And I would say that for me, Celebrini is number one. And the reason I think Celebrini is number one over Connor Bedard is
From a
because this is
fantasy
only.
perspective?
Well, it's only Celebrini's second year. Bedard, it's his third year. And he's breaking out to that same point pace as Celebrini. So that's the only advantage I could really give Celebrini right now. They're both absolutely phenomenal. From a fantasy perspective, for this year, they're both equal in point pace. So I don't see why this is not that unsustainable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's splitting hairs, really. It really is. And the only reason I give Bedard the edge is because I think he ends up scoring more goals. But again, 1A, 1AA, or 1A, 1B, whatever. All right, let's move on to tier two. I couldn't believe this kid was still 23 years old. We got Lucas Raymond at number three, Leo Carlson, Wyatt Johnston, who feels like he's been in the league forever, but he's still only 23. Tim Stützle and Logan Cooley. Vince, first of all, are you shocked that Lucas Raymond is 23 years old? And secondly, is it right to have him here at number three?
Not as shocked as you were, but okay, so this is my take on this tier for fantasy wise. I would have Raymond and Wyatt Johnston as three and four. And the reason is because in most fantasy leagues, both those guys are wingers. So wingers are so, it's much easier to find yourself centermans in fantasy that will get you points than wingers. So that's why I think Lucas Raymond and Wyatt Johnson, I'd put them at three and four because Wyatt Johnson's a center wing and Lucas Raymond is a winger. So that's
Yeah,
why I would.
you're talking eligibility on Fantrax, right?
Even on Yahoo, because all
Yeah.
the other guys, like Leo Carl, and any, I'm in three leagues and three different
Sites?
platforms. Yeah, platforms. Leo Carlson is a center only, Stutzel is a center only, and Logan Cooley is a center only. Last year, Cooley had a winger next to him, but this year he's a complete center. So that's why I feel Raymond and Wyatt Johnson would be 3-4 for me because they put up the same amount of as points as the other guys, but they're wingers. So to me, that's more valuable than the centers.
I like that. I like that. It's talking
That's
about
smart.
something different than we've been talking about so far with the players that we've discussed. I think Raymond is an absolute find.
My God,
You know, like,
he's driving that Detroit team. Him
yeah,
and Larkin.
he was a fourth overall, right? So he wasn't even Watson. Like, Jesus, I would have had any of these guys in fantasy, to be honest with you. But I just Raymond is absolutely insane. 94 point pace. his shooting percentage is normal, not anything outside of his career norms, right? He's pacing for 94, I said that already, but 10 goals already, 21 assists for 31 points, 18 and a half or so minutes of ice time. It's not even crazy. Like, no, it's not crazy numbers. It's just good. 68% top power play. And he's won a faceoff. 100% on the faceoff circle. But, you know, like, I think Lucas Raymond is just having a great breakout season. And it's funny to say breakout. He had 80 points last year. But I think he has another level here.
I feel like we're all waiting for this season from Raymond. And it's finally here. So the reason, the thinking behind my tier here was Bedard, Celebrini, 100 plus points. And these guys is either like 90 points or like almost point per a little over a point per game, but could score 35 to 40 goals like a Wyatt Johnson type of thing. That was the thinking behind that tier. Okay, so let's move on to tier three.
Wait. Before we move on, we have to add something here. I understand the position preference that Vince was talking about. Completely understand that. But hard to say that Leo Carlson, who's pacing for 105 points mm-hmm. this year, and he's pacing for like 40 goals, yeah. is not
in the top tier.
Even possibly even higher than Raymond, right?
The reason why is because this is the first time we're seeing it. You know, where he had a little, even though he was drafted high, he had a bit less of a pedigree than Bedard and Celebrini did. And Bedard showed flashes in his rookie year, Celebrini flashes in back-to-back rookie and sophomore year. Carlson is just now starting to show that, so I was a little hesitant to put him over Raymond. That was the only reason.
Okay.
Any thoughts on Logan Cooley? You guys think he could be a consistent 90-point player?
I said it last episode. I feel he's a bit streaky. He's a streaky player. Like I said, he has his 8 goals, and eight goals came in 2 games. So I feel he's a bit of a streaky player. But he's got that number one center position in Utah, like stapled in. So I believe he could be a point per game player. I just don't know if he could be more than that.
All right, so let's move on to the next tier, which is the third tier. We've got Cutter Gauthier, Will Smith, Seth Jarvis, who, by the way, is 23 years old, Ivan Demidov, Matthew Nyes, and Matvei Mishkov. So the thinking behind here is obviously goals or point per game, but maybe or more, but not enough goals to support the next tier, to go to the next tier. So I'll hand it over to you, Nick, this time. Cutter Gauthier fair at number 8 there, even above a guy like Will Smith?
Fair. Over a guy like Will Smith, I will agree with you. It's the Jarvis thing that I'm not so sure about, right? If we're talking about somebody that is pacing for over 35 goals this year, Seth Jarvis is that player. But I do believe that they're in the same tier, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But Cutter Gauthier, what really sets him apart is if your league counts shots. In that particular pace, I think Cutter Gauthier has the edge. And yes, he is also pacing for 91 points this year. I don't know if it's a sustainable pace, but it's definitely a good pace to have over a guy like Jarvis, who's more of a 75 to 80 point player, right?
Can you imagine what kind of points he could put up in a different system?
Well, we say that, but
or maybe
you remember,
this is the system that fits him the most.
Maybe
the best.
This exactly. And the thing with this tier is, I'm looking at it and like Will Smith and Demidov, I think, are a bit high. They're, like Nick said, they're in the same tier. I just think they're a bit high. Because in this tier, I would go with goal scorers more than I would go with playmakers. And I think Will Smith and Demidov are more playmakers. Whereas like Matthew Nyes, Seth Jarvis and Cutter Gauthier, these are goal scorers. And in fantasy leagues, 95% of them, goals always count more than assists. So that's the only reason I would have them on top of the other guy. Michkov, I would keep him where he is just because we don't know what's the real Michkov. He last year he had a phenomenal rookie season, and this year started off slow. Seems like he's picking it up again, but until he proves me that he can be consistent with that, I would keep him where he is.
Yeah, I was seeing Will Smith as a point per game player, maybe a little bit more. That's why I put him there. But you're right. Seth Jarvis could probably go ahead of Will Smith. Matthew Nyes, he's on pace for 92 points. If that's who Matthew Nyes is, he's climbing that tier. He might even be in second tier because he puts up goals. And now you're talking about 90 points. You're talking Logan Cooley, Tim Stützle, that kind of range. Why Johnson style, actually?
Yeah, exactly. And he puts up goals. That's the thing, is he puts up goals, which I'm telling you, in fantasy, helps a lot. And like I said, like Michkov, 6 points in his last 5 games played. He it seems like he's picking it up again, but I would just push. I would push Jarvis and Nyes ahead of Will Smith and Nemedov.
Okay, so let's move on to the fourth tier here, where these guys have all pretty much shown glimpses of what they could be, but haven't done it consistently. I mean, Frank Nazar's in this tier. He started off like he came out of a cannon this year. That had a little slow period. Now he's picking it up again. So tier four is at 14 is Frank Nazar, then Adam Fantilli, Dylan Genther, Quinton Byfield, and Beckett Seneca.
Oof.
I think they're all interchangeable.
This could be a tier of disappointments.
Can I say that to me, Beckett Seneca maybe looks like the best out of this group? Even though you've ranked him 18th, like last place in this group. And the only reason I'm saying that is because, like, Gunther is pacing for 60 points. I don't know what's going on with Dylan Gunther, but I thought he was a 40-goal scoring.
Yeah.
Right? I'm surprised he was even this low on this list until I looked at the stats. Fantilli has all the talent in the world. But he started off the year so bad that he's pacing for 60 points as well. But Seneca to me is having a phenomenal year, and I just feel like he has more to give. And this is, like, don't forget, this is rookie season. He's younger than all the other guys I just mentioned, right? And he's pacing for 64. So it's a lot of talent here for Seneca, and 10 points in his last 10 games. You're freaking loving this if you're, and he's only playing 16 minutes of ice time. Like, we're talking about a great start career.
I would have Seneca first in this tier, and then Nazar behind. I'm an owner of Byfield, but I would have him last in this tier because he's the one who has the most stats to show us. He just turned 23, and he hasn't had any season with over 60 points. Most goals he scored was 23, which was last year. This year he's on pace to 56 points. This is a number one overall pick.
Second overall.
LA was second. Who went first in that league? Nick, do you remember?
In the 2020 draft?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember years. I was really bad at history.
But yeah, so I would have Byfield there because he's had the most games to prove that he could be
Lafreniere.
Lafreniere. And then it was Stützle and Raymond and Jake Sanderson. So we've all ranked higher.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Beckett Seneca should be ranked higher just because of first tier, his age, first tier, and what he's doing. I think he should be high at the top of this tier.
Yeah, you're right. He could have probably been higher. The reason I liked Fantilli up there is because he can get points, but he also can score 30 goals. So I like that he scores more than Seneca looks like he's gonna score. Yeah, Genther, he didn't take that next leap that we all thought he was gonna take, but he also never hit a wall. So maybe this is his first wall that he's hitting. But yeah, to be determined. Quinton Byfield, I still have hope in him. I think he can still develop. But anything you guys want to add?
And Fantilli, he's a goal scoring centerman. He's not a playmaker. Like last year, 32 goals, 22 assists. You're not looking at Fantilli to make plays here. He's a prototypical centerman who scores. So that's I understand why you had him high, but the problem with scoring is guys that depend on scoring, it's streaky. They're streaky players, and that's where it worries me a bit.
Fair enough.
I think we should do maybe another week of this midweek episode. I think we should go ahead and do a redraft of some of these years.
Oh
It'd
my
be
gosh.
surprising to see some of these players where they were drafted.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. Okay, so the last year, I really could have put anybody here, but I wanted to cap it at 20, so I put two guys that are pretty comparable. And Jurij Slafkovský and William Eklund. Jurij Slafkovský this year especially is showing what he could be. Like if he finds his consistency in how we see him right now, that's going to be a lethal player going forward. But William Eklund, now that he's a bit better surrounded, it looks like he maybe because he's not counted on as much, he kind of took a step back in points. He's pacing for 56. What do you guys feel about 19 and 20 here in Slafkovský and William Eklund, Vince?
I just want to take out Slavkovsky's thing. I think. Listen,
They're 2 years apart, just to
yeah,
as a
but
reference.
Slavkovsky is paced for 49 points in his third year, fourth year in the NHL. And he's getting every opportunity on that first line, first power play to get things straightened out. So. I like William Eklund. I think he's a winger. It's his third year in the league. He's pacing for just a little more points, 56. They both play with talented players. I mean, Eklund plays with Celebrini sometimes. Slafkovský plays with Suzuki Caulfield. I mean. Like we were saying with Bedard and Celebrini, it's 1A, 1A. This could be maybe 19A and 19A, like at the bottom. So I think that they're the same players. I just, because I'm a Habs fan, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting for Slafkovský to be the player that we're all expecting him to be. And
He
it
was a number
sucks.
one
And it,
overall pick, eh?
yeah, it sucks. It's the number one overall pick, and that's what comes with that territory. So. He's saying all the right things. I don't know.
Nick?
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is.
Slafkovský is 6 points in his last five games. I'm hoping that this is the start of a little bit more. He started the year better than he did the previous years.
Yeah.
But his point pace is still not very high, like you guys said already. He does a lot of other things really well on this team. So, like for me, I'm gonna see Slafkovský as a point per game player in his future necessarily. I do see him as perhaps a 60 to 70 point player. Maybe his peak is gonna be 70. But doing a lot of the things that you want a big-bodied player to do, winning battles on the boards, getting the pucks to the more skilled, and he's been setting up a little bit more. Moved off that top line in order to play with Demidov. He kind of took a little bit more control of that playmaking in that on that second line. So it wasn't a demotion when they moved Slavkovský to play with Demidov. It was a, here, Slav, go help out this line because it needs a bit more. I just wish we could see what this lineup would be with a fully healthy lineup all the time. Right? Newhook injured, Dak injured. Like, all of this plays a role, even with Slavkovský. I just feel like he's not going to be a point-per-game player, though, in his future. It is what it is.
What's promising, too, from a little bit of a different aspect, is he's got 9 power play points already in 27 games. Last year, he had 10, and the year before that, 14. So his power play points is going up. He's shooting more. He's really, I mean, if you look at those analytics player cards, you'll see his defense is like 98 and his offense is still in the 50s. He just needs to bring his offense up a little bit and this guy's going to be a threat. But I don't want to take anything away from William Eklund. Last year, he had 17 goals and 41 assists. The only reason I have Slavkovský above him is because I think he can score more goals. And, you know, we say it time and time again, goals are more prestigious in fantasy leagues. So when the points vary very little, you're always going to give the edge to the guy who should or you think is going to score more goals. Mm-hmm. To end this episode, guys, you want to add anything else? To repeat, my bad, Jackson Lacombe is not 23 or under. He's a late bloomer.
he's a very late bloomer. I just want to see something with one player.
By the way, the Fantasy Lens episodes, our midweek show, seems to be more popular than our main show, guys.
Nice.
So we need to boost up our main show.
Listen, one guy to look out for, my friend. Tom Wilander, 8 points in 19 games, has 2 points today. I mean, he's a defenseman to watch, especially if that Quinn Hughes goes away. He'll definitely be a defenseman to watch.
I can see that. Nick, any final words?
No, I'm actually looking for a replacement to Vasilevskiy now, who's also somehow injured.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, Vasilevskiy and Kuch.
Yeah, but I think Tampa Bay is doing a really good job at Junior. What were you saying before? At
Load management. It really seems like they're doing a lot of load management. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Nick. Nick, you hear me, Nick?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't want to hear you, but I hear you.
Which days are the strongest?
Can you repeat that?
Which days are the strongest?
Saturday, nope, no idea.
Saturday and Sunday. The rest are weak days.
And on that was note...
That was better than your last one.
Yeah. Have a splendid week, everybody, and we'll see you again on Monday.
Enjoy.
Take care, everybody. Peace.